and was the birth of your culture. Yes. Yesterday's part of the story revealed what the world means to the Takers. It's a human life support system. Right. Today's part of the story is about the destiny of man. Clearly, it's not his destiny to live like a lion or a wombat. What is his destiny, then? A man's destiny is to achieve, I answered, to accomplish great things, to build civilization. You're thinking historically. We're looking for mythology. As we saw yesterday, creation wasn't complete when jellyfish appeared. According to your mythology, it was complete only when man appeared. Right. Why was it incomplete without man? Why did it need man? I don't know. Think about it. What was the world like without man? Well, it was just a jungle. You mean nature red in tooth and claw, dragons of the prime that tear each other in their slime? That's it. Without man, the world was unfinished, was just nature. It was in chaos, in a state of primeval anarchy. It needed what? It needed someone to come in and straighten it out, someone to put it in order. And what sort of person straightens things out? What sort of person takes anarchy in hand and puts it in order? Well, a ruler, a king. Of course, the world needed a ruler. It needed man. So now we have a clearer idea what this story is about. The world was made for man, and man was made to rule it. Yes, that's very obvious now. Everyone understands that. And this is what? What? Is this fact? No, I said, it's mythology. Ishmael shifted position and went on. You say it took man a long time to realize he was meant for greater things than could be achieved living like a lion or a wombat. For 3 million years, he was just one more creature rolling in the slime. Right. He only realized about 10,000 years ago that he had to lift himself out of the slime and straighten this place out. But the world didn't meekly submit to his rule, did it? No. The world defied him. So he had to do what to it? What do you mean? If the king comes to a city that will not submit to his rule, what does he have to do? He has to conquer it. Of course. In order to make himself the ruler of the world, man first had to conquer it. Good Lord, I said, you hear this 50 times a day. You can turn on the radio or the television and hear it every hour. Man is conquering the deserts. Man is conquering the oceans, the atom, the elements, outer space. Ishmael smiled. Of course man is conquering space and the atom and all the rest. According to your mythology, this is what he was born to do. Yes, that's clear now. Now the first two parts of the story have come together. The world was made for man, and man was made to conquer and rule it. And how does this second part contribute to your explanation of how things came to be this way? Well, I said, once again, this is a sort of sneaky way of blaming the gods. They made the world for man, and they made man to conquer and rule it, which he eventually did, and this is how things came to be the way they are. All this is just the result of man achieving his destiny. Yes, I answered him. That's how it's understood. People just shrug and say, well, this is the price that had to be paid for indoor plumbing and central heating and air conditioning and automobiles and all the rest. And what are you saying? I'm saying that the price you've paid is not the price of becoming human. It's not even the price of having the things you just mentioned. It's the price of enacting a story that casts mankind as the enemy of the world. We have the beginning and the middle of the story together now, Ishmael said. Man's finally beginning to fulfill his destiny. The conquest of the world is underway. And how does it end? Well, let's see, I said. With agriculture came settlement and division of labor. With division of labor came technology. With technology came trade and commerce. With trade and commerce came mathematics, literacy, science, and all the rest. Okay, man's destiny was to conquer and rule the world. And this is what he's done. Almost. He hasn't quite made it. And it looks as though this may be his undoing. The problem is that man's conquest of the world has itself devastated the world. We've poured poisons into the world as though it were a bottomless pit, and gobbled up resources as though they could never run out. It's hard to imagine how the world can survive another century of this, but nobody's really doing anything about it. It's a problem our kids will have to solve, or their kids. And there's only one hope. We have to increase our mastery of the world. All this damage came from conquering the world, but we have to go on conquering it till our rule is absolute, and then all will be well. We'll have fusion power, no pollution. We'll turn the rain on and off, grow a bushel of wheat in a square centimeter, farm the oceans. All the planet's life processes will be where they belong, in our hands. That's where it stands right now. We have to carry the conquest forward, and this will either destroy the world or turn it into a paradise, into the paradise it was meant to be under human rule. And if we manage to do this, if we finally manage to make ourselves the absolute rulers of the world, then nothing can stop us. Then we move into the Star Trek era. Man moves out into space to conquer and rule the entire universe. And that may be man's ultimate destiny. That's how wonderful man is. "Once again, that was excellent," Ishmael said. "But you realize, of course, that if you'd been telling this part of the story 50 years ago, you'd have spoken only of the paradise to come. The idea that man's conquest could be anything but beneficial was unthinkable. Until the last 3 or 4 decades, the people of your culture had no doubt that things were just going to go on getting better and better and better forever." "Yes, that's so." "However, one element of the story has been left out, and we need it to complete your culture's explanation of how things came to be this